We're back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North. There are many books and articles out there that tell you the best places you should visit in Milwaukee. So it was with a bit of trepidation that we agreed to read one more. And while 111 Places in Milwaukee That You Must Not Miss offers up some of the expected, think the Pfister Hotel or the Harley Museum, it also offers up some lesser-known places like the Morris Pratt Institute and the QWERTY Creation Site. 111 Places author Michelle Madden was born and grew up here, and photographer Janet McMillan lives and works here. They both join me in the studio now. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us here.
How did you decide which 111 places you wanted to include in the book?
The first 50 were off the top of my head. I grew up here, and now I live in Los Angeles, but I come back about 3 or 4 times a year. So I get to come here and act like a tourist. So I really had at my fingertips a bunch of places that we frequent and on our list of things we want to do. So that 50 was off the top of my head. I would say about another 50 were just in talking to some of the people from my places, because a lot of them were just amazing resources. And they would rattle off all their places, and I would follow up on those, and a lot of them panned out to be great. And I found at least 3 just driving around. That was amazing to me that, you know, here I was on the hunt for places and I could drive around Milwaukee and still find new places that nobody told me about that I never heard of that were staggering enough to be included in the 111.
Give me an example of one of those.
Okay, so Bridge Lane Footbridge in Fox Point. I was over there poking around, looking at the Mary Knoll House, looking at the Edelman House, which is the Frank Lloyd Wright House, just trying to see what I could see, and I saw that bridge, and it was perfect. I walked to the middle of it. You could see the lake. You felt like you were in the middle of nowhere. You felt like you were in this slice of beautiful Milwaukee shoreline that your average citizen doesn't get to experience because it's residential there. So that was amazing. Another one was Booth Street Stairs, that platform hanging out above the brewery, right?
Right. It's by Lakefront Brewery.
Yeah, mm-hmm. By Lakefront Brewery. I was there sort of just wandering, and it's this amazing sculptural, architectural wonder of a staircase that also had a ton of history. It's at the intersection of Glover and Booth Streets, which has, you know, that history of Joshua Glover and Booth. And yeah, so that was another one. There was another one, actually, an amazing one, Ma Ingalls' Birthplace, which is in Brookfield.
That one shocked me, too. I had no idea she was born in Brookfield.
No, and let me tell you something even more surprising. My old house was right there. And I guess I forget the acreage, but so basically the house I lived in for 5 years was on the property that her parents owned.
Wow.
So that was a mind blower.
Particularly for all of us who grew up reading the Laura Ingalls Wilder books, to think that you're literally like living next door.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, that was the long answer
to that.
To your question.
Janet, how did you get involved? Was this right from the get-go?
Well, Michelle and I, we go way back. We went to grade school together at St. Jude's, the Apostle in Wauwatosa, and we also went to high school together at Pius. And so we've, you know, stayed connected over the years. And when she was hired to write the book, she reached out to me to help out with photos.
This wasn't necessarily your idea initially. You were actually asked to produce this.
So 111 Places is a series. And the publisher is Emens out of Germany. So they've covered all of Europe. They've filled in with a lot of the larger U.S. cities, and now they're filling in with some of the mid-sized cities. And yes, so these books existed.
All right. So you had a format to go into.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
One of the things I loved about it is that it has some of the old favorites, the Harley Museum, Mader's, Linden Sculpture Garden, things people who live here or who have been around here probably know about. But then there were the things, like, I didn't know about that footbridge. The QWERTY place. I had no idea. And QWERTY, of course, is the keyboard, the top letters on the typewriter.
Yes.
Keyboard. And I was like, that was here?
Yes. I know, it's mind-blowing to think that every time you send a text, a fellow from Milwaukee influenced the way your fingers are moving. That blows my mind.
And so how did you put it together? Did you try to do it geographically, or did you just do it in alphabetical order?
It's in alphabetical order in the book, and then in the back they do offer some maps that give you an idea of what's close to each other. I mean, the interesting thing about this book, too, is that different from other guidebooks, it's as much a read as it is a list of places to go. So each place is a complete story, and it's meant to be enjoyed on its own. So even if you don't plan to go to a particular place, you know, it's giving you greater insight into Milwaukee. They sort of weave together to be, you know, a certain tapestry that is Milwaukee.
That's a perfect description of it. It's like opening up a book of short stories and just taking one and enjoying it. And so, Janet, for the photography part of this, how did you approach telling these stories?
It was pretty fascinating just being able to go to, you know, so many of the places that I didn't even know about or hadn't heard of or didn't really understand the history behind them. So a lot of the places I went to more than one time, it became almost like a meditation for me. You know, many of the places just slowing down really and taking my time and getting to know the places, spending time there. So it was an amazing assignment.
As you were working together on this, did you have any influence, Janet, on what was chosen?
I had a few suggestions that were chosen, but the publisher does have it's a formula that they're looking for. So there were definitely guidelines for us to follow.
And so what were some of the things, Michelle, that you had to make sure you adhered to put this together?
There was definitely a balance of how much, you know, of each category. And the one category that was tough to adhere to was food and drink, especially because this is Milwaukee. We, you know, obviously you could do 111 places that you must eat and drink in Milwaukee. You know, you can do tons of these books about that in Milwaukee. You know, that's a specific metric that they had for the book. They also had, you know, a certain amount of sports, not too many sports, certain number of museums. They're very conscious of being a unique guidebook. And so they didn't want to hit the touristy things the way that a normal guidebook would. And if I did, you know, for instance, include the Milwaukee Public Museum, then I had to tell a story that people were not totally familiar with.
So tell us that story.
Well, on that one, I love it. It's so fantastic because the streets of Old Milwaukee are just one of the best exhibits in any museum anywhere, and I'm sure I'm biased, but I grew up loving that. You know, it's considered to be one of the first walk-through dioramas in America. It was a very big deal when it first was opened, and everybody knows it and loves it. And the one thing I never knew was that Miss Kitty's boudoir is portrayed on a second floor. And, you know, it's a beloved exhibit of children, but this is a different side of Milwaukee. It was all about Miss Kitty's brothel, which, you know, Mayor Goodtime Rosie, I don't know if he endorsed, but he certainly looked the other way. And so there's, you know, the icon of Rosie's hat in the window. And when you go up the stairs to the photography studio, if you look across the street, you can see the glow of the two rooms. And it looks like a red glow. And I thought it was literally a nod to Red Light District. But the curator told me that that was just actually a gas lamp and the light bouncing off of the flocked wallpaper, so that wasn't intentional. But it's there, and you see the silhouette of a young woman flipping her ponytail in one of the windows. So that was something I never knew, and we go to that museum every time we come here.
Another one that you touch on is one of my favorite places here is the Chudnow Museum of Yesteryear. It's
the best.
Just such a terrific place.
Yeah.
And I think that's in other guidebooks, but you have a really nice story about it.
Well, the people there are amazing, Joel and Steve. We've come to know Joel really well from his tours, and they always have time for you. They always have time for your million questions. We always have a million questions. So everything my son, he's 10 now, I feel like everything he knows about history is from the Chudnow. And one cool thing about the Chudnow is, as a kid, when I would look into the windows of the streets of Old Milwaukee, I just wanted to go in so badly, you know? And the Chudnow is kind of like getting to go in, you know? So where streets of Old Milwaukee gives you this great atmospheric overview of what it would have been like to live at that time. The Ched now, you get to go right in and take a seat at the soda fountain. And, you know, if you're playing your cards right, they'll serve you a soda. Also, another fantastic thing is they do a lot of tours for seniors. And we have just jumped in on those a bunch of times. And all those people chime in with their own stories about their memories from the day. And it's amazing to then have that whole component to the history lesson.
Other things that you've covered in here are things that probably some people might not consider tourists, certainly things to miss. And I'm thinking, of course, of Jeffrey Dahmer's
yes.
former apartment building. What was the impetus to include that? I think a lot of people just shiver even thinking about it.
Agreed. You know, it's history. It's part of Milwaukee's history. It isn't a tourist attraction. You know, obviously, it completely is not. But it is part of the history. It is also a nod to the fact that this book is not a straight-up guidebook. It is telling stories of Milwaukee. It's weaving together all different experiences that have become part of Milwaukee's character. And so that's the story behind that being included. That said, it was almost the last one I wrote. I kept putting it off to the end because I just didn't want to live in that world. Then I realized it was going to be the last one I wrote, and I kind of freaked out because I didn't want it to be the last one I wrote. So then I realized I was down to five and had to get it in. And then when I was doing the research for that one, I did find that remarkable story, which I didn't know about the gentleman from Milwaukee who did buy up, you know, the objects and with his own money and then with some fundraising that he used to buy up the objects and disposed of the items. That was a very interesting story, I thought, because I hadn't followed up on what had happened beyond the initial, you know, horrible event.
The horror of it, yeah. And so, Janet, from again, thinking of that from a photographic perspective, how long did it take you to figure out the image for that one? Because that's a tough one.
Right, right. Well, you know, it is just a grassy lot that's there now. And I did go a few different times to the location. And I decided that I wanted to go and shoot when there was pretty light. So I went very early in the morning, like around 6 a.m. And it actually is there's a lot of photos in the book that I really love, but it is one of my favorite photos. And what I focused on was just next to the grassy lot, which is a beautiful cobblestone alleyway. And, you know, I shot into the sun. And so while something terrible happened there, there still is beauty in. Beauty can still be found there. It has an energy, for sure, the place. And what struck me also was just my children go to school right down the street from there. And so I would drive past it, you know, every day for years and years, and I didn't even realize that it was there, you know. But after taking the photo, it's something that I think about more often.
Very quickly, a favorite thing you didn't know about that doing this book together allowed you to find out about. And Janet, I'll start with you.
Well, it's very hard to just pick one,
honestly. I know. It's your favorite child question, I know.
So many good things. For me, walking around Soldiers' Home was just fascinating, just the history and the beauty of the buildings, the nature that's there, just talking to people around there. Also, just walking around some of the neighborhoods that we talk about, like Pigsville, and then having to take photos of the Polish Flats, and just like getting out into neighborhoods, you know, that I wouldn't normally walk around in, and then you end up talking to people because, of course, you're carrying a camera around and they want to know what you're doing, or I have to ask permission if I can, you know, take their picture. So that was great.
There were a couple of things that were really fun to investigate now that I'm an older person that were folkloric for me when I was a kid. The old Eagles Club, now the Rave. My dad was a marathon runner and would train by running around that balcony when it was still a health club. And so my sister and I would come along and be stuck hanging out there for like 2 hours, and we would just explore that building And it's so interesting. And there was the old hair salon and a bunch of different barber shops and a radio station and, you know, the pool and the bowling alley. And so those were all things in my imagination that I almost wondered if they were real, because it just seemed so magical to be able to run around in this old, you know, defunct place. So to go back in there and, you know, I've seen shows at the Rave before, but you don't get to see the nether regions of the building anymore. And we got to go in, and Janet took a magnificent photo of the swimming pool, which no longer has water in it. So going and exploring there was really neat. A similar thing happened to me with Sanctuary Woods, which was an area that I used to play soccer adjacent to there. There was a place called the Pig Farm where we played soccer, and we all knew that the old insane asylum was there. We knew that there was supposed to be an old unmarked cemetery, but we never knew for sure. And obviously this was long before the internet, so you couldn't look it up and find out. And my dad was a psychiatrist, and he actually worked at that facility before it was shut down. So I heard stories, but I never knew the real history. So it was so amazing to find Jonathan Peel, who, you know, is a local history enthusiast, who took us through there and really pointed out all of the amazing things that are just tangled up in the woods back there.
Yeah, and that picture is really beautiful, too, that for Sanctuary Woods. Yeah, just amazing. Well, there is so much to look at this 111 places in Milwaukee that you must not miss. My guests have been Michelle Madden and Janet McMillan. Ladies, thank you so much for coming in and for doing the book.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you.
Author Michelle Madden and photographer Janet McMillan's new book is 111 Places in Milwaukee That You Must Not Miss. The book launch happens tomorrow night at Best Place at the historic Pabst Brewery on West Juno Avenue. There is a link to more information at wuwm.com.